Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. In verse 10, the thief, that is to say the devil, who is a thief, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So here is your option as far as who you line up with. Because you're going to have to choose one of them. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether you're going to serve the Lord or the gods that were on the other side of the flood, that is to say the Red Sea, the ones that did not save the Egyptians. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Anything else, forget it. It's going to cost you. The devil comes for three things. To rob you, to kill you or some aspect of your life, and to bring destruction into your life. That's it. A lot of young people do stupid things like get into drugs or alcohol or smoking or what have you. All right, let's use smoking because all of us understand the dangers of drugs and alcohol. Let's take a look at smoking, for example. Smoking is not, and I'm not trying to harp on smoking. There's a lot of Christians who do smoke and they know it's a bad habit and they wish they could stop. But let's define things for what they actually are. The first cigarette you take starts emphysema. You don't get full-blown emphysema with the first cigarette, but you guarantee yourself if you continue smoking long enough that you will get emphysema. Now, tobacco itself has a whole lot of toxic, very dangerous substances. Nicotine itself is powerful poison. One drop of pure nicotine on your tongue will kill you instantly. Yet, people are inhaling this stuff. The stuff that they use in rat poison is in tobacco. And people are inhaling this stuff. Polonium is even found in tobacco. And yet, people are inhaling this stuff. This stuff is unbelievable. And then they turn to pot. Guys, don't ever get into pot. Even though places are legalizing it, pot is one of the leading causes of schizophrenia. It is one of the leading causes of suicide. Don't ever get into this stuff. I don't care whether the government says it's legal or not legal. They're absolutely irresponsibly out of their mind by legalizing this. They're pure idiots who are trying to make money on what should be illegal and for the longest time was. But the destruction they bring to a culture, a society, a county, a state, whatever, it's unbelievable. These fools who think, say, oh, they should legalize drugs, you're going to hear about these guys. Oh, yeah, we're a libertarian. We think you should be able to do whatever you want with your body. Oh, really? London tried that. They went from 5,000 to 50,000 heroin addicts in 1 year. Oh, it doesn't impact anybody? I'll tell you one thing. Fornication is why we have abortion. You're telling me this makes no difference what you do with your own body? You're telling me it makes no difference what you do in your private life? The heck it doesn't. Absolutely it does. Every human being has an impact on other human beings. Don't tell yourself, oh, it's just me. You're being stupidly self-centered if that's the case. So don't even go down that road. Absolutely insane. Anyway, the thief comes. He tries to kill. He tries to steal from you. He tries to destroy things in your life. Now, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, which means clear-minded, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't be paranoid, be aware. You do have an enemy. Now, God is greater than your enemy, but that doesn't change the fact that you have an enemy. Don't be afraid of him, be aware. Be conscious of the fact that you have an enemy. Also be conscious of the fact where your victory over the enemy lies. Your victory always lies with Christ. It doesn't matter what happens. Good or bad, your victory always lies with Christ. You can never be separated from the love of God. Doesn't matter what happens. You can never be separated from the love of God. You can never become unaccepted by God. It just doesn't work that way. That's not who God is. You cannot become unaccepted by God. God will never reject you. Ever. Doesn't matter what happens, good or bad, God will never reject you. People will reject God, God will not reject them. He will allow people to have what they chose, that's why some people go into hell. But anybody who turns to God will not be rejected by God. They will be accepted by God. That's just the way God is. Now, you do have this enemy, and you have to understand how the enemy works. Not to be afraid, just to be aware. Fortunately, there's no fear of the enemy because Christ in us is greater than the enemy and he's overcome the enemy. But the enemy still tries to get in his licks. He works primarily with temptation. Temptation is really kind of a strange thing. Now, in Matthew 4:3, Satan is the tempter. Sometimes when people enter into temptation, they think to themselves that the temptation is coming from them, but it's not. Satan is the tempter. If you think temptation is coming from inside of you, you're going to have a very difficult time with temptation. Because you're not identifying its source correctly. And therefore, what you're trying to deal with, you're not actually able to deal with because you're not dealing with the right source. You're dealing with something different altogether. Satan is the tempter. That means that he is the source of your temptations. Whatever the temptation happens to be, if it's a temptation, Satan is its source. He's the one who brings it. The reason why you think it's from you, often that people do, is because he uses your mental voice. Satan doesn't have a voice. So he has to project his thoughts. It's kind of like telepathy. He has to project his thoughts, which is not hard, into your thinking. And then your mental voice, because it's using your mental machinery, brings the temptation. And you will either hear something like a thought, or there'll be like a compulsion, or there'll be this pressure inside of you to do something and you know it's not right, but there's a pressure inside of you anyway. That's Satan. And because he's using your mental machinery, it sounds like you, but it's not. Very important to identify temptation when temptation is present. If temptation is there, know that it's Satan who's tempting. Remember that. If temptation is there, because eventually everybody gets tempted, even Jesus got tempted. Being tempted in and of itself is not sin. That just means you have an enemy. What you do with the temptation can become sin. Doesn't have to, but can. In Matthew 6:41, Jesus says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Satan does not tempt your spirit. He tempts your flesh. And by flesh, I don't mean your physical body. I mean your old sin nature. The old sin nature is located in your physical body. And so Satan targets your old sin nature with temptation. Now, there's six different types of major targets. We're not going to really get into them here today because that would be a whole nother message. But there's six targets to your temptation. One of them is your emotions. But the emotions can be all kinds of things. When you see somebody desiring somebody else, like, oh, I would love to have him as a boyfriend. I would love to have her as a girlfriend. Do you realize that that's Satan tempting your emotions? It is. It's called lust. But lust in itself is anything you desire apart from God. This is called a sensual lust. In other words, sensual refers to emotional. This is emotional lust. Emotionally desiring something that is not God's will. That's a big one for people. That's how young people get into all kinds of problems, older people too. Another one is money, power, all kinds of things. So watch out for that. Recognition is another one. Watch out for that. Okay, Satan will always target your old sin nature. Be aware of that. Watch and pray. If something is starting to target your emotions, a desire that you know isn't right, know that it's temptation. Watch and pray. Know that it's temptation. Pray your way through the temptation, but know that it's not you. It's the enemy who's targeting you. Even though it sounds like your own mental voice, it's not. It's his voice using your machinery. The flesh is weak. That means the old sin nature is a very good target. And you always target the weak spots of your enemy. He considers you to be his enemy. So he targets your weakest spots. In other words, your old sin nature. In Luke 8:13, how do we protect ourselves from this temptation? How do we make it so that Satan has the least amount of ability to tempt us? Well, it says there, those who, when they hear the word of God, receive it with joy, but have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. The biggest reason why people have trouble with temptation, in other words, being tempted, not fighting the temptation, we'll deal with that in a minute. The biggest reason why people have trouble constantly being tempted is right here. They don't have the Word of God going deeply into their heart. If you hear the Word of God, you might receive it with joy. But if you don't apply it, if you don't meditate on it, if you don't repeat it, because every time you hear something, you only can remember 10% at best. If you don't listen again, if you don't do those things to make the Word of God your frame of reference, you will have trouble with being tempted. Because you have an enemy who's looking for his targets. And those people who don't have a rich relationship with the Word of God, they are really big targets. And so he tempts them. He does it so that he can steal something from them, so that he can kill something in their life, if not their entire life. And that does happen. Or to destroy something in their life. That's always why temptation takes place. He'll always tempt people into sin because whatever is not of faith is sin. So you don't want to go down that road because that road becomes very destructive. Sin might appeal to you at first, but later on it will do serious damage. A young kid starts smoking because they think it's going to be cool to smoke. And later on, they end up with cancer, heart disease, emphysema, all kinds of problems. There's not a single system in your body that cigarette smoke does not damage. There seemed like there would be a good benefit for a little while. Hey, my friends will think I'm cool. But the end result is going to be a bear. And what's worse is sometimes the end result comes years later, even after you've stopped. There was a famous news anchor, Peter Jennings. He had been a lifelong smoker, but he quit. But unfortunately, enough damage had been done. And though he was still okay after quitting, when 9/11 took place, he said it really stressed him out and he started smoking again. And this time enough damage had been done, just a little bit more smoking, and he ended up with lung cancer and it killed him. This is bad stuff. But people do it all the time. Why? For a little while they think they're going to get some benefit out of it. But the reality is, it's kind of like fishing. You put a worm on a hook and the fish sees the worm, but he gets caught on the hook. Sin is like that. Sin says to you, you're going to enjoy this, but you never see the hook. But the hook is always there. And so you bite down like the fish onto sin, but you get caught on the hook. And then the damage is done. And often you can't undo the damage. Now, God can forgive sin, absolutely. God can cleanse you from sin. The blood of Christ removes sin. But the damage that's caused by sin, that's another story. Yes, God can fix it. But man, you've gone through a whole lot harder of a road than you ever needed to go down. And for a lot of people, it never gets fixed because the humility and the faith are not present, even though they might forsake the sin. And if it's a sin like smoking or drugs or alcohol, then you also have physical problems. And that might sometimes be a permanent issue. The way that you keep from being tempted a lot is to have a rich relationship with the Word of God. Let it become your frame of reference, because that way Satan has no room to get in. There's no good target for his temptations. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, if you get tempted, you're not the only one being tempted this way. A lot of people get tempted this way. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. A lot of people get tempted with the very same temptation. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, He'll also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We know now how to prevent temptation from being all that common. You get into the Word of God. But what happens when you are tempted? What do you do when the temptation is present already? Because even if you are into the Word of God, Satan will still try to tempt you. How successful he is will depend on your relationship to the Word of God to a large extent. But he'll still try. So what do you do when the temptation is going on at that moment? Well, the first thing you have to do, because of the Word of God, you recognize the source of the temptation. Don't even ask yourself, what is the temptation? You'll know that anyway. But recognize the source of the temptation. If temptation comes, say to yourself, that's the devil. That's my enemy. I'm a target. That's my enemy. Now, Satan targets people who are a threat to him. So it's kind of like a backhanded compliment. Because if you are not a threat to him, he will not be bothering you. He just doesn't have the time for it. He's dealing in a war. And people who are not a threat to him, he's going to leave them alone. In other words, they're already doing what he wants them to do. Why should he worry about them now? They're already there. He's worrying about the people who are opposing him. He's worried about the people who are living in the kingdom of God. He's worried about the people who are winning the loss, who are receiving the word of God, who are doing damage to Satan's kingdom. That's who he's going to target. If he's targeting you, that means you're dangerous to him. That's a good thing. Being targeted, you got to know how to deal with it, though, because he can have his effect if you don't know how to deal with it. If you get tempted, recognize that this is your enemy. Now, there's a tendency sometimes for people, because they think the temptation is from themselves, they'll try to fight themselves. And they'll try to put away those thoughts in themselves. I shouldn't be having that thought. I shouldn't be getting tempted. And they get frustrated and they try to resist their own thinking. They try to resist themselves. And what they find is the temptation gets stronger and stronger and they get weaker and weaker. And often, eventually, they'll give in to the temptation. That's part of the strategy. You don't have to resist yourself. You're not the source. The source is the devil. All I really want to do when I get tempted is to see that the source is the devil. Now, yes, he will be tempting me in things that I'm weak in. Perhaps I have desires that are not of God, whatever it is. This is one of the reasons why the Word of God is such a big deal, because it takes care of, it eliminates those desires that are not of God to a large extent. You still have an old sin nature, but it is not as strong when the Word of God is present in abundance. Because in James 1:14, everyone who is tempted is drawn away by his own desires and enticed and tempted. However, when you recognize that it's the devil who's tempting you, it's really easy to say no to him. I'm not going to do that. The devil wants me to do that. He's my enemy. I'm not going to cooperate with my enemy. He's the one who's trying to steal from me. He wants to kill me. He's the one who wants to destroy things in my life. I'm not going to cooperate with him. He's a jerk. That's a whole lot easier than trying to resist yourself, thinking that your temptation is coming from you. Oh, but I want it. Oh, but I can't have it. Oh, but I want it. I shouldn't be thinking this way. Oh, but I want it. No. Can't do it. Can't do it. Look away from it. Look away. Quick. Look away. Oh, but I want it. Man, that's a losing proposition. But, wouldn't you like that? Oh, devil. Forget you, devil. Drop dead. You're going to fry like a pancake. You got nothing to do with me. Get out. That's easy. It's easy to say no to the ones who hate you. It's easy to say no to your enemy. And so you resist him. Well, James 4:7 says, if you submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then, to protect yourself, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It may sound like your mental voice, but it's not. It's not your thoughts. It's his thoughts. It's his voice using your machinery. And it's very easy to say no to your enemy. Hard to say no to yourself. But it's not you. That's the thing. You think you're saying no to yourself. You're saying no to the wrong one. It's not you. It didn't come from you. Instead, say no to the devil. Oh, I'm not going to cooperate with what he wants me to do. He's trying to kill me. That's easy. Temptation, if you think it's coming from yourself, is really hard to deal with because you're not dealing with it. But when you recognize who you're actually dealing with, temptation becomes easy to deal with. Because it's actually kind of fun to say no to the devil. You're my enemy, I can say no to you. This is cool. You want to kill me, I can say forget it. You want to steal from me, I can say drop dead. You want to destroy something in my life, I can say get lost. And I have every right to do it. Because he's my enemy. He's not my friend. He's my enemy. Sometimes people get guilty about the fact that Satan tempts them. But the Word of God says in James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now, I know that also means trials and all that stuff, but temptation often is allowed as a test to strengthen you. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. You mean I endure temptation and I receive a crown? Crown means I rule, I reign? Yeah. Yeah. If God has approved me in the way that I handle my temptations, He'll reward me with reigning. Why? If you can reign over yourself, you're already reigning over the most difficult thing there is to control. So if you can reign over yourself, reigning over a city or a state or a country is a piece of cake. Notice the politicians that are doing a bad job. They're doing a bad job even though they're supposed to reign over the country or state or whatever because they can't reign over themselves. If you can reign over yourself, that's the challenging part. Reigning over a country is going to be easy. And so you reign over your temptations. You say, no, devil, I'm not cooperating with that. Forget it. Drop dead. Get out of my life. Get lost. Beat it. Go to hell. Oh, not yet. Don't worry. You will. Simple as that. And you know what? You get a crown of life. And crowns means you are in a very good position in heaven. You see, Satan's kind of funny. He always overplays his hand. He tries to bring it to destroy or steal or to kill. And you deal with it well. And in fact, he's given you a promotion in the kingdom of God. So never get guilty about the fact that you're being tempted. Just recognize where it's coming from and say no to the tempter. You'll have the ability so long as you keep yourself built up in the Word of God. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.